Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. Really good think tank today. We have Alvin Reed, Stacey Washington, Tony Colombo, who we've all figured his game out now. He just drops a bomb and he walks out.
Well, he showed his phone like it was very, very important.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, who was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering myself, who was it?
That's a fake phone call.
I thought I asked you to clean up the garage. Right, I got to take this.
Call me in 3 minutes.
Yes. Right.
Any more? You guys want to keep going? You want to move on? I mean, well, you guys are having a passionate, discussion.
I always, I don't care how Alvin and I fight, whether it's on Donnybrook when I used to go on there, we would get into heated discussions. Afterwards, we always shake hands and we're always very cordial. And so if anyone's listening and thinking that we don't, I like Alvin, I respect him a great deal, and I think he has a wonderful family. So that's not it. We're arguing over politics, which politics is a tool, and people shouldn't hate each other over it. So I need that
to be
said. I agree,
and I feel the same way. I think that there's always been, and this is all America, that people look like Stacey and look at myself and say, like, well, you're different. And I think that's the thing that I find most irritating throughout life. It's like, no, I'm not different. I'm not different than anybody else.
What do you mean? We probably share 85% of our experience.
Yeah, probably more than that. And this like where I was born or where you were born, that makes a difference, okay? And the circumstances that you grew up in, that makes a difference. But, like, okay, I used to do journalism, you know, workshops as a kid, and we did them at Forest Park. Most kids were from the city. And 10, 12 of those kids went farther in journalism than I did. They had no school newspaper. They didn't have all the resources we had in Kirkwood. And so I have a tendency to say, like, nah, it's not a difference. I wasn't different. All right. I don't know how you get from point A to point B and all that, but we're not different. Stacey's not different. You know, your family was in the military, and people say, like, because this, that, and the other thing. But you had to have some drive and some gumption and say, like, hey, I'd like to accomplish this in my life. And so that's the one thing that I'd say,
really,
like,
interesting.
I'm not
what
different.
What a blatant example of soft racism to say, oh, well, but you're different.
Mm-hmm.
You were born in Kirkwood.
Yeah.
And so it explains why you've been so successful.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Does that not just want to punch someone in the face?
That's the thing that, you know, and Stacey, would, you know, whatever, you know, her, what she stumps for and how she feels, like, say, like, that seems like, well, that makes her different. I said, like, well, no, that doesn't make her different. That just means we might
disagree. Because I used to be a Democrat.
We might
argue politics from the Democratic side better than anybody. I could make people cry
when I was, look,
a Democrat.
I understand that. But
that
now, also, I was along those lines. I said, like, now, one of the things that I've always said is, like, follow me. I'm conservative sometimes.
I mean,
I'm conservative sometimes, and I wish I could get some of my conservative friends to just blurt out, well, when are you liberal? I mean, there are times, there are beliefs I'm sure you have.
When are you liberal?
That are liberal.
Oh, yeah, for
and
me,
I'm
for
like,
sure.
I just come out and, you know, I say it, I do it on the show all the time, and I hear, like, did you, you know, like, really? I said, like, yeah, really, right. And it's not that I am, like, say, by what you would label a conservative, but
I think that's one of the worst things about our state right now, and I don't know who's to blame, but I know it because of the job that I do, that you can no longer call balls and strikes. I heard Chris Wallace on Mark Cox today, and I know that Mark takes crap every week because he has Chris Wallace on. Chris Wallace, Fox News Sunday. That is a great guest. And he will take crap from the quote-unquote core 97.1 listeners who say he's a liberal, he's a communist, he's against Trump. And Chris, who I like a lot and tend to agree with a lot, was just saying, look, I'm not advocating for anyone. I'm not rooting for anyone. I'm just calling balls and strikes. That's what I try to do. And you can't. Because if you call any pitch that Trump throws a ball, you are out.
And to that point, you can't have belief. Like, Alvin, you just said you have beliefs on both sides of the aisle. Like, that's not allowed now. It's like the two sides have drawn a line in the sand. It's like you're either on this team or you're on this team. I was saying yesterday on the show that I feel like there are less swing votes or moderate votes nowadays than ever before because everybody has gone on to their team. And, you know, you're not going to be swayed. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to go, well, I didn't like the way the president handled this one issue, so now I'm going to vote for a socialist. It doesn't work like that. They're just dug in on their sides.
I agree.
And do you think, both of you, I'm a big proponent for third, fourth parties. I feel like the two-party system is damaged.
Damaged, but I don't, not beyond repair. We'll come back to it, but I was just saying, like, if you're a conservative, there's something that happens that makes you more liberal, and if you're a liberal, there's something that happens that makes you more conservative.
Well, that's just a human experience. You're not all
side. I'll tell you what that is. When you have kids. Because when you have kids, okay, all of a sudden, you know, you're saying, like, okay, I used to do this when I was a kid, and you're never doing that. Okay, you ain't never doing that. But then these kids that you have are growing up, and we had them like 38 years old and 40 years old, so we were older when we had our kids. So the kids then, what kids are doing today, not illegal or anything like that, it's kind of like, really? You know, y'all have co-ed sleepovers at people's house, and y'all 10, 11 years old or whatever. Like that would never happen back in the day. Dad, it's all right. Someone's doing it, okay, all right.
Well,
so,
it's not all right over at Washington, but okay.
But I'm just saying that, you know, like things like, because we never did that either, but I know people did. Yeah. And you kind of.
I just
like,
heard about those for the first time this week.
And you kind of think to yourself, okay, while that never would have happened when I was a kid, it happens now and there's no something to it. So that, you know, maybe that absolute no becomes a, all right, okay.
Let's do this. We'll take it outside of race. Let's just take it. Politics and just common sense, reality. Taking out Trump's Trumpiness, okay, which I can't stand either. Just results.
I like it.
Just results. What do the Democrats think is broken when the Dow keeps hitting records, 401ks keep going up?
Dave, black unemployment is at the lowest rate
ever been.
In the history of tracking black unemployment. Also the same for teen unemployment, the same for Hispanic unemployment.
Female.
So female unemployment. The metrics for right now, just in America, regardless of your race, quote unquote, which isn't really a thing, your ethnicity, you're earning more. Our median income is up. Median income is up over 10 grand. So a family of four in America is now earning 10 grand more than they were before. The business tax cuts, as much as everybody talked about how they were going to make everything go to pot, business is booming. Everything is looking pretty doggone rosy, except if you turn your gaze over to, you guys have it on CNN in here, if you look at Washington, D.C., it looks like a total pile.
Meltdown.
It's just going to garbage. But everything else in America, especially for people who don't pay attention to politics, the happiest people I know, oh my goodness, everything's going fine. And the other parts that I think are really interesting is that there are some conversations, if we weren't talking about impeachment, that we could be having right now, like we talked about, bring the troops home. But there's some other things like the HIRE Act, I think it is. They're actually moving some departments, like Department of the Interior. They're moving that out to the hinterlands, the part of America that they're managing. They're moving the employees out there. Now, the employees are mad, 600 of them. They are all looking for jobs. They want to stay in the Capitol. But 61 of them have said, we'll take the training, we'll move. The reason they want to move them is so that areas that are being managed by the federal government have the federal government employees who are managing them in that area so they're closer to the problem they're supposed to be addressing and to spur job creation. That is a conversation I would love to see argued on CNN or MSNBC just to talk about it. You don't have to agree with it, but what could it be? Unintended consequences, whatever. We can't even talk about that because now Pelosi says Trump says he has committed bribery. Are you kidding me? The president of the United States is bribing people? When you talk about the polarization, which is what you're talking about, where you have two parties and nobody's listening, I feel like if I could just turn on CNN, because I don't have to turn it on, it's on everywhere. They pay everybody to keep it on all the time. And they would just talk about the black unemployment rate being low, talk about the business environment, talk about the jobs, the consumer price index, talk about some of that stuff. They don't have to compliment President Trump. If they would just cover it, then when Alvin says, well, you know what, Stacey, Democrats have so-and-so in the city, I wouldn't be sitting here thinking, yeah, right. I'd be like, oh, tell me more. Because I would know that he'd heard some good news from my side. And so let me hear something. Now, I'm getting the information. I'm reading it. But I don't like listening to people who refuse to hear one bit of good news from what the president has done just because he's a Republican. Tell me that I don't know anything about X, Y, Z, whatever it is. There has to be some equity. There is none for this president. 98% of the news about him is bad. How can that be?
Well, the two Burger King had on Fox yesterday morning when I got my two croissants. So
where were you?
I was in, I guess that would be Sunset Hills.
Oh, well, of course, Sunset Hills.
I'm just saying, they had Fox on as I got my croissant.
So what?
I was at the airport, so you know all I saw was CNN. You know it.
So what do the, okay, it seems to me that the Democrats are looking for a revolution. To me, elections should be about incremental change. Okay, the Republicans are doing this. We can do it better. But the Democrats that I see are talking about throw it out. Throw it all out. We're starting over. It's a revolution.
And I said, like, I don't think any of them are going to run. I agree with that. Like, that whole thing. So, like, you know what? You're in a situation where state by state, you're doing all right. You know, like, if you just focus on that and lead the president to his own devices, you know.
So,
like,
Alvin, does that drive you crazy? You know, the kind of hardcore left part of it? Because you sometimes have conservative ideas, but you're definitely a Democrat.
I just think that, I said 4 years ago, we could come up with a better candidate, okay? I think that's why they lost.
What about the socialism? Like, are you okay with that?
I think socialism is thrown out there. The talk coming from candidates, you know, sounds as whatever you want to call it. But it's not socialism. Socialism is to take and
control
disperse.
The means of production.
Right, and it's not. It's
Bernie Sanders and AOC are advocating for socialism.
Okay. All right.
At least wealth distribution.
Or whatever it means.
At a massive scale.
And Bernie Sanders calls himself a democratic socialist.
Right. But so, I'm just saying, like, that's nonsense. He's not going to be president of the United States. He wasn't going to be if he'd have lost worse than Hillary did.
But he's dragging your party to the left.
Well, we'll see. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to. The perception of what the Democratic Party will be will change between now and when somebody is nominated, because none of the individuals who are at the top of the polls right now are going to run for president.
I love that. I am fascinated by that belief.
No doubt about that.
I am.
I'm my hands are together. I'm praying. Please let him be right.
And
God,
I've said
please.
On this show that, but you're talking to a guy who thought a man named Barack Obama could not be president of the United States, and I didn't think Donald Trump would beat Hillary Clinton. Now, I thought.
But they were both in the race at this time.
I thought that it would be close, the second one, but I didn't think that was going to happen. So I'm 0-for-2 on the last two ones.
Yeah, you and me both.
All right. And that doesn't mean, like, the day I went and voted, I, you know, didn't have any idea. But I'm just saying, like, when we were in this point in time,
right,
what, 12 years ago, I like.
But for somebody to get in not in now and win the nomination would be completely unprecedented.
But
to get in,
we're Michelle unprecedented. Obama?
I agree.
Alvin, Michelle Obama, who gets in at this point?
No. I don't know.
Michelle Obama would win.
Look, I think that it doesn't have to be a named person. I think like we should have been 4 years ago. I said, like, man, fine. Some junior senator. Find some guy in the House.
Do you have anybody?
Find the next Barack Obama.
Right. Yeah. Do you have anybody that you would love?
I would love
to see?
The guy's getting about 0.1 of the vote is the governor of Montana.
Is that Bullock?
Yeah.
Bullock or Inslee?
Go find him. And you put him on a national stage and he says, like, all right, this is what I'm for and this is what I'm against. And I'm just as Democratic as all the rest of these people out there.
Yeah.
But hey.
And they're getting booed.
Right.
Booed.
But he's like, hey, look, I got a house full of guns.
Alvin. What I'm seeing when I look at the reactions from Democrats, if you look at the polls, real clear polling averages, and then if you look at the different ones, CNN, Ipsos, and all those weird name polls, they show that Democrats, on the whole, have been moved further left by the Bernie Sanders revolution, and that when people like the guy you're talking about, when they come on the stage, you just said it, Dave, they not only get booed, yeah, they get torn apart.
But here's the thing. That's the part of the party that, like, okay, where were they at, okay, when Hillary was running? Well, they were voting. But what contingent of your moderate base, your independents, did you lose that you could get back? So it isn't a matter, like the far left, just like black people, don't necessarily win or lose elections. You got to convince middle class white people to vote for your candidate. That was the success that Barack Obama had. Everybody says like black people won the election for Barack Obama. That's complete and total
nonsense. It is.
You have to appeal to and you said it's very narrow and it gets narrower all the time. But you got to appeal to that group of people.
It's true.
And you know, that's the candidate. So like, look, okay, like I said, this is where I'm coming from. This is, you know.
God, I hope you're right.
So you think that Montana guy could, because I don't even know, I've like seen him one time.
I think that type of Democrat would do better in a national election, to your point. But I just don't know that they're going to win the nomination. Yeah, but I just don't know how they're going to win the nomination.
One thing, he might win his own state.
Normally we ended here, but we got you here, and it's flying. Let's do one more. Welcome back, guys. DGS doing an extra think tank because we have a great panel here. Stacey on the right, Stacey Washington, Alvin Reed, Tony Colombo. So,
I'm just watching.
Yeah, no, it's great.
He is not. I think Tony's flame throwing.
I think that
I drop the bomb and then I get out.
Unless Rudy Giuliani, Sondland, or Mick Mulvaney roll on Trump, nothing happens. He'll be impeached. He'll be acquitted. We'll move on.
Same thing. We went through this. You know, a few years back.
Yeah.
Kind of same way. Look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they do because the Senate's not going to throw him out. They got the votes.
So let's assume that that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume that somebody from the current 2020 race is the candidate, maybe even Bloomberg or someone like that.
The nominee.
And they get beat. So Donald Trump wins in 2020. Ginsburg, I mean, God love her.
That's what the whole thing is about right there.
Trump 2020?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to get at least one more justice.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And let's say that she like went through a star trade where somebody might resign, you know, to put a younger person in there. I could see that happening. If there was like a Star Trek replicator and, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg,
this is why we're friends.
You know, came back out
and
was 30 years old. I don't think Donald Trump would have as many friends as he does now. Because, quite frankly, I think nothing would change if the Vice President of the United States was the President of the United States.
Mm.
And I think that whole all of the energy is getting Donald Trump reelected. And this is not Donald Trump hate or anything like that. But they really, really, really want to win again. They don't want to lose again because that would set in force more, you know, conservative federal judges, but most importantly, you would have like a even one more vote on a majority conservative.
That's all politicians, though, isn't Supreme Court. They all
the sides. Democrats are fighting.
No. I'm just saying right now.
Right. I don't think it diminishes the support for President Trump because on the ground, people are supporting him because they feel he's successful.
I agree with you 100%. What I'm saying is that if I'm in a position of where I'm safe, you know, in my jurisdiction or whatever, I might not be as quick to side with him all the time.
And I'm not saying
they're right or wrong. I'm just saying that
his polling with Republicans is 85% to 95% depending on which poll.
What I'm saying is that there is this thing where he is the only person that could do what he's doing in the office right now. And I honestly don't believe that because I don't believe that of any president. I think basically what your platform and what your foundation is what it is. And
it is, but I'm saying to you, if it was John McCain who's the president right now, mm-hmm. I know he didn't run this time, but if it was, and I really liked Ted Cruz, I liked Ben Carson, I liked almost all of them, but any one of them as president right now with the kind of opposition they're facing from the Democrats because of the Supreme Court and the nominations to the judiciary would have crumbled already. That we haven't had anybody this strong.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I just disagree with that.
I know, I respect that, but I got to tell you, from sitting around at the debates and talking with friends and sitting around with politicians who you know, they know how Washington works. This is a very unique scenario. Yeah,
but no, I disagree.
I don't like Trump, and I do agree with that.
Yeah.
I do agree with he is the right kind of bully, hard-headed, I'm going to win at all costs. Jeb Bush is not going to get this done, what's being done.
He would have already crumpled in front of Nancy Pelosi. The day with the red coat and the shades would have been his last moment.
I just disagree. You never, you know, across 100th century, you never know what you do until you're put under pressure.
So I know 2020 is pretty far away. 2024 is kind of silly far away, but let's play 2024. Trump wins again. He replaces Ginsburg at least, maybe even another one. He has four more years of Trump. What the hell do the Democrats do? Like, do they quadruple down on the wealth distribution thing? Yeah.
No, I think
or do they come back to the middle?
I mean, let's go back to the fact that you won the House, okay? All right, you won the House in 2018. So it's viable to have success. Most presidents, very few, don't win two terms. So, like, if Trump were to get reelected, it isn't like, oh, my God, something shocking and irregular
it's
happened.
Expected.
That's expected. So then you go on from there. And just like you have whoever fatigue or this fatigue, that's just an American thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Tell me if I'm wrong, because you guys are the experts, the pundits. Seems to me that the two most impactful presidents, arguably, we've ever had are back-to-back. Barack Obama. Huge impact. Mm-hmm. I mean, the nation moved so far to the left in those 8 years, and then Donald Trump, bam, so impactful. You know, I mean, we are really spoiled when it comes to that, because the last two presidencies have absolutely moved the country.
Yeah, but that's a product, I think, of the times as much as anything else, and that's not taking anything from either two gentlemen. I just think that that's where we are right now. And, I mean, everything is like that. I mean, you know, we talked about people who were born, you know, they saw the, like, you know, hey, some guys in the Wright brothers flew an airplane. And they were still alive when a rocket went to the moon and people walked around. Well, technology-wise and financially and our interconnection with the entire world in the last, you know, 12 years has changed, you know.
I would
totally
echo your comments, because I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about how some story in Hong Kong, I think it was, and I was reading it and I was just kind of feeling crushed about it. And then I just, for a quick split second, I remember getting up every day in high school and reading the Stars and Stripes. And the Stars and Stripes, when you're stationed overseas, the paper that you get is all about everything that's going on in Germany and Asia and everything. And so I knew what was going on there. And I knew big stories in the U.S. because they would be on CNN, but I didn't know the little stories. But now I can know little stories about kids in China. You know, so for a second, it felt like in that moment, I realized how the world had shrunk from me only learning about regions of the world to knowing about everybody all over the planet all the time. And I think what you just said just then about Barack Obama and Trump being in that era, the age of the, you know, we actually have smartphones that have more data than most people read in their entire life. We read in a day, you know, a few hundred years ago. It makes a huge difference. So I think it does mean that there's an exponential potential for change. But it also is weird because things have changed a lot, but they really haven't changed a ton. If you look at just every day, what we do, the way we live, the people that we see, that things have changed, but they
haven't.
And
not to be like, say we're elites or anything like that, but one of the things that I've learned, you know, being overseas and whatnot, we have a tendency to think that, you know, we can read about other countries, but we really aren't all up in the business. And you know, we don't really know a lot about what's going on in France and all that, because we're off watching a football game or whatever. Okay.
I don't watch football.
But the same is true. Looking back, we have a tendency to think that everybody's watching America, and it's not true.
Yeah, but our culture impacts pretty much.
No,
every
I'm not.
Other
I'm not arguing with that.
It's frightening.
If you go knock on, you know, your average Parisian's door and say like, "Hey, what happened in America today?" and they look at you like,
it's the same with Americans.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I agree.
But we have
agree,
a tendency
Alvin.
To think that everybody is around the world is wrapped up in what is going on in the United States of America. Now, governmentally, politically, their country might have been involved, but for the most part, people don't. Okay. Who's the president of the United States?
Well, they know who it is.
Right.
They know who it is.
What percentage of the people in other countries know who the president of the United States is?
Oh, my goodness. I think a lot of them do.
What percentage? Just if you had to guess.
I'd say a majority of them. 60 or 70% of people in other countries know that our president's name is Trump. How could they not?
All right.
There's a Trump baby at every protest around the world. Have you not seen that?
I show up with a Trump baby. That means that.
Well, people are wondering what is that thing?
You're saying 51% of another country know who the president of the United States is. I'm not ready to go there just yet.
Well, I'm sure there's a poll online we could find that would tell us who.
Am I the only one that just pictured Alvin Reed with a real tiny Trump baby?
I don't have one.
Just patting him on his Trump.
Going to protest.
I know. It's when he said, I show up with a Trump baby.
I don't have a Trump baby.
You know what makes me sad is you're probably right. There probably is at least 50% of the whole country or the whole world that knows Donald Trump is the president. But less than 50% of Americans know the name of the vice president. I bet it's 20%.
Stacey, where do people find your show?
StaceyOnTheRight.com is where you can watch it live every day. But if you want to listen to it on your phone or your tablet or whatever, it's listen.StaceyOnTheRight.com.
Tony, what's going on? Weekend Report?
We're talking to Grover Norquist this weekend. Oh. So, yeah.
He's still around, huh?
Yeah, still around.
I hated to say this. I got to be 100 years old.
Dave is so introspective.
When you said that, I'm looking like,
he was a big deal in the last one.
That sounds like a good interview. So,
yeah.
Donnybrook?
I remember him on Time Magazine. He looked 80 then. Donnybrook.
Hey, 80's the new 70.
Well, I hope so. That's true. 59. I'm like, yeah. Donnybrook, St. Louis American.
Alvin does not look.
I'll host your trivia contest. Just call.
No, you could do a little color in his hair and send him to college.
I'm telling you, he looks good.
I started too late. I always tell people that. I say, like, man, about 20 years ago, I should have started dyeing my hair. I walk in there tonight on TV and my hair jet black. I'm just like, what's up, dude?
Please, God, do it. Please do it.
We're waiting on him to do this. Are we not?
Have me on Donnybrook. I'll wear a wig. You have jet black hair.
And I'm going to tell you, when I do it, I'm sitting like, Dave Glover told me to dye my hair, and I did it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.